Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riveroftricities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
But when it doesn't happen the way that you think, sometimes you have an opportunity to get offended. And the enemy will, I mean, you got so many opportunities to get offended. I mean, out in the parking lot, I didn't get the parking space that I wanted. Well, I'm telling you, I got here 2 minutes before service started, and I almost had to park out in the grass. Yeah, that's probably the truth. And pretty soon, you will have to park in the grass. So you better get here earlier. What am I going to do then? Talk with people. Amen. Enjoy other being around other people. Amen. So you get offended in the parking lot. You come in and maybe the greeters offend you then. Because, you know, they're too happy. And there wasn't just one person to shake my hand. There was two. There was three that wanted to shake my hand. All of them are like, how are you doing? Like, what's their business? I just want to get in there. I really don't like people. They can get offended at that. They can get offended at the ushers. They didn't see me. I raised my hand. I wanted an envelope, and they didn't see me right away. I had to keep my hand up for like 5 seconds. Seaters, they didn't want to seat me in where I wanted to sit. I wanted to sit over there, and they told me, oh, this right here. And I wanted to do that. Teach on offering. They're all about money. It's all they want. They just want money. The pastor talks about healing, but he walks around with a limp. That bothers me. Something's wrong. I get offended at things. Call people up in the prayer line. Thought they were going to pray for me. Then I saw people next to me falling down on the floor. What's that about? That's crazy. Who wants to be around that? The music. Oh my gosh, I don't know any of the songs. Then sat beside this one guy. He's jumping up and down and just like. What's their problem? You know, what are they on? Restrooms. Had to walk all the way down the hallway to get to the restroom. They need to have one right as soon as you walk out the door. You know, you can get offended at anything. One thing I found is that if you will be able to humble yourself, get past the offense, you're going to find that the breakthrough that God has for you is like right there at the door. That's when most people get offended, right at the point where their biggest breakthrough is. Naaman. He was so close to getting everything that he needed, completely healed, and he got offended and went away. And if he hadn't had somebody, a servant actually even, brave enough, you know, the servant could have lost their life right then. I mean, he was a commander. He was an important person. This is just a little servant that comes up to him and says, hey, chill. What's going on? Think. If the prophet had said something difficult, would you have said, oh, yeah, that probably seems like it would be, you know, commensurate, you know, having to do this to be able to get that? But he just sent word to you and said, do something really simple. Go down to the river and dip 7 times. And then you even had to complain about the river, about which river it was, because you're so picky. I want it to be in the Banner or the Farfar because they're cleaner than the Jordan. I agree. The Jordan's nasty. Looks like a, you know, rolling mud. But Naaman looked at it and he goes, you know, why? Why can't I do something more like what I want to? I want to tell you, God's not here. He's not here to bring his power to you and say, how would you like this exactly? Do you want him to like custom fit his great power to everybody? It would have to water it down so much. And it would be ineffective. You want to take the God who created everything that you see and expect him to make something so small that you're comfortable with it. And yet you think you want to trust something that is so small, so insignificant with your entire life? No. I want to tell you, I trust God with my life because God's a big God.
Exactly.
He's able to do all things.
Yeah.
I love his power.
Yeah.
He is omnipotent. He's all powerful.
Yeah.
And so when God begins to move, I do expect it to blow my mind.
Yeah.
I do expect to go, whoa, that is amazing.
Amen.
Absolutely incredible. Otherwise, I wonder if that was God really. I wonder if that was really God. When you hear the testimony of somebody like Rhonda, how God has changed her life, delivered her, totally set her free from all of the junk, the addictions and the medications and everything, the bipolar being diagnosed with that, all the medications that went along. How many medications were you on? You're on 5 different medications. And then God totally, by his power, totally sets her free. Amen.
Amen.
So that now, that's not a part of her life at all.
Yeah.
Completely free from all of that. Why? Because God's power drove out the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Because if you think somebody diagnosed with you know, being bipolar or something, it's just because of, you know, all of a sudden they drank the wrong kind of water. No, I want to tell you, there's the work of the enemy involved there. Okay? And so the enemy has to be driven out. His power has to be put out. It takes a mighty God, a powerful God, to do that. And you say, well, you know, you just put them on medications. Did medications work for you? No, the medications don't work for you. Why? Can I tell you why? Because you can't medicate a demon.
Amen.
And you can't counsel one either. Well, let me just have some counseling sessions with you. No. I'll lay hands on you. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to take authority over it. I'm not going to let it to destroy your life. I'm believing for better things than for you to just be on medication all your life.
Amen.
If you're somebody who thinks that medication is the answer for everything, yeah, you don't understand God.
Yeah.
I understand where people might have to temporarily be on something, but you better understand that I'm going to believe that God is going to heal you and he's going to deliver you from that.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what it is, God's bigger.
Yeah.
God's bigger. And I'm against anything that destroys the human body. Most of the stuff that is, you know, prescribed to go in the human body right now, it's not good for you. It's not natural. It's metallurgy. It'll destroy you. Amen. If you think, well, the answer is to get a jab. No, not only if you don't have a brain. No, because it'll kill you. And you say, well, I'm not coming back to the church. There's the door right there. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Amen. Well, I don't put up with foolishness. Amen. I know the agenda of the world. I know the agenda of the medical community at whole. I'm not saying there's not good doctors and good nurses and good people involved in it. There is. There's wonderful people, absolutely godly people. We got them here. We have doctors and we have nurses here and practitioners here, people studying. You're studying to be a pharmacologist. Is that correct? Pharmacist. Sorry. I don't know. What did I say? Pharmacologist. Oh, yeah. A pharmacist. Yeah. And so, why do you think, that's all evil? No, no, no. We got to have wonderful people. We have to have powerful Christians invading this system. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
So it's not taken over.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
But you can't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I love spirit-filled doctors.
Yeah.
Who they'll not only treat you, but they'll lay hands on you and they'll pray for you.
Amen.
Hey, let's believe God's going to heal you. Thank you, Jesus. We need revival. We need revival in our nation. Amen. Right at the door of blessing is the rock of offense. And I even know that this message will irritate people. I know this message will irritate. It'll irritate people that are here tonight. You'll go home and you'll begin to talk about them. I don't agree with him. I think he's a little too radical. I think he's like, yeah, I really don't care. Because I know what God told me to speak. I know what he put on my heart. And usually it's the people that carry offense that are the biggest hindrances to revival. And so most of the time, before you have a revival from God, you'll have a backdoor revival first. And people will leave. Well, I attest to that. Amen. So I'm not afraid of that. I want people who are sold out. They say, I'm hungry for God. I am hungry. I believe in the power of God. I believe in his power to save. I believe in his power to deliver. I believe in his power to heal. This is what I am about. Amen. Most people will get upset. They'll get mad and they'll leave a service because they won't humble their hearts before God. And they won't say, Lord, I know this is what your word says. Naaman, there are a lot of great people, but they got a problem. They're bound up. Now, every part of your life is like lined up perfectly with the Word of God, and there's such fruit coming out of your life that it's just astounding. Then come and talk with me, and we'll talk here. Because I know the Word. I know the Word. I know the Word very well. And not only do I know the Word, I know the presence of God. I know His Spirit, and I know the flow of the Spirit of God. And I know that to be able to flow with God, there has to be purity. And not with just in my life, in my home, there has to be purity. So my wife and I, when we pray together, Lord, expose anything. There's something going on with one of my boys, let us know. And we'll deal with it. We don't just sweep it on the rug. Oh, you know, that's their life. No, they're living under my roof. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And so you have to make a decision, not just, well, I'm gonna show up at church, but I'm going to be hungry for God, and I'm going to allow things that God wants to do to be stirred up inside my life, because I believe that God wants to use me. I believe God wants to do something supernatural in this city. I've heard people that around here, they said to me, we've prayed for decades for a church like this to finally come into this area. But if you think it's popular, you got another thing coming. Amen. Sarah, you got another thing coming. You pay a price. You pay a price to be able to walk in the power of God. And to be able to be consistent and not like, oh, well, you weren't looking at me like I thought. I thought you'd have it just like, oh, wow. I'll go back and I'll calm down. No, forget it. Amen. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. Amen. And I know that, you know, people's like, I need some help in my life. I need God to do a work inside of me. I feel such pressure. I feel heaviness. I remember hearing Dr. Rodney Howard Brown talk about revival. And you remember his old commercials, Rolaids. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. He'd say, how do you spell relief? R-E-V-I-V-A-L. Amen. That's what we need in our life. Amen. Because otherwise, people are all upset. There's just junk going on in their life. How do I fix this? How does this get set right in my house, in my family, and everything? I want to tell you. Revival.
Amen.
You need revival. You need revival in your life. You need it in your heart. You need it in your home. Amen. You need it in your life. It needs to come out of you. It needs to bow every part of you.
Yeah.
Amen. You may say, well, you know, I don't agree completely with everything you say. Okay, wonderful, fine. Show me the scripture where I'm wrong. Because you won't find it. You just get offended in your mind and say, well, I'm going to get out of here because I don't agree, because that hits me, what you say hits me a little too straight. Change. If the cat doesn't like the way it's being rubbed, let the cat turn around. If you'll come desperate, you can get what God has for you.
Yes.
Put away your preconceived ideas. Pride blocks people's breakthroughs. In John chapter 9, we have another story there about the man that was born blind. It says, now when Jesus passed by, verse 1, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day, while night is coming, where no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with his spit. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which translated means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who had previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not the man who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. And he said, I am he. They're having this conversation in front of the guy. Do you think this is the guy that was born blind? I don't know. It kind of looks like him, but I'm not sure if it's him. It is me! Idiots. Therefore they said, how are your eyes open? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and I washed and I received sight. And then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made clay and opened the eyes. Whoop, there it is right there. The opportunity for offense. Oh, it was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he'd received his sight. And he said, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such great signs? And there was a division then among them. So they're arguing now in front of a guy who's received a miracle.
Right.
This is of God. It's not of God. It is of God. It's not of God. Hey, doesn't it matter to you? I'm the one who got touched. Who really cares what you think? We don't give a crap, okay? People get all upset. Oh, why did this good thing happen? Let's argue about it. No, let's instead see, what can we do so that more of this happens?
Yes.
Is this not the most amazing thing? A blind man born blind from birth,
yeah,
suddenly receives his sight. He's an adult.
Yeah.
So this wasn't just, you know, he wasn't just a young boy, but he's an adult. He's healed miraculously, never seen before in his life. Now he sees, and now he's rebuking people. Arguments breaking out. Instead of people saying, this is what needs to happen, now they get in a fight over it. What? What a display of religion.
Amen.
What a stupid display of religion here. And the Jews didn't believe concerning him that he'd been blind and received his sight. And so they called the parents. They got his parents then. And they begin to ask them, saying, is this your son? Was he born blind? How does he now see? And his parents answered him and said, well, we know this is our son. And yes, he was born blind, but you know, by what means he sees now, we don't know. Or how he's opened his eye, how his eyes are now open, we don't know. But you know, he's of age. You ask for him, he'll speak for himself. And his parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews. They probably thought they were going to get slapped or hit or kicked out of the synagogue, you know, disenfranchised in some way. Why? Because that's what religion does.
Amen. Yeah.
And therefore his parents said, he's of age, ask him. And so they called the man who was born blind and said to him, give God the glory. I want to tell you, that doesn't mean what you think it means. Because when they used to say, give God the glory, it doesn't mean that they meant to say, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Give God the glory is what they used to say before they're getting ready to execute people. Okay? You're getting ready to be sentenced. That's what it basically let them know. You are being tried, and we already think you're guilty. And so they started off, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. And he answered, and he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, though, I was blind, and now I see. I don't know about all this stuff you guys are getting all mad about, but I do know this one thing. Right before this, I couldn't see. Now I can see. Now I wish I didn't see all these idiots. And then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Oh, verse 27. I told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Push the button. Push the button. Push. Oh, talk about offense. It's getting stirred up right now. And then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. No, they didn't even know the scriptures. They should have been Abraham's, if anything, not Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. And the man answered and said to him, why, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he's from, yet he's opened my eyes. And now we know God doesn't hear sinners, but if anyone's a worshiper of God, he does his will and he hears him. And since the world began, it's been unheard of anyone that's opened the eyes of one who's born blind. And so if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And so what do they do? The man now who has had a miracle take place and he's giving God the glory, what do they say? They answered him and said, you're completely born in sins and you're teaching us, and they cast him out. Wow. Let's kick you out of the church. That's how we deal with stuff. When there's a miracle take place and we don't believe that the power of God should have been working. Offense. Right there, they were so close. The teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they were so close right there. Jesus had been right there in their midst. They all had the opportunity to recognize this was truly a move of God. But instead, they got offended and started fighting. Not kung fu fighting, but they were fighting. Could have been, because it's everywhere, they were kung fu fighting. Everybody was. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Maybe that wasn't then, though. And the blind man here, he had every opportunity to get offended also. But you know what? He was desperate. I want to tell you, you don't find the desperate people getting offended. I've actually never, ever found one desperate person desperate for the touch of God, desperate for a miracle. I don't find them getting offended ever at the power of God. Never one time in 43 years of ministry, I've never one time seen somebody desperate for the touch of God ever get offended.
Amen. Yeah.
It's always the religious eggheads. Because I don't like the way that was done. I don't think it should have been done. They had a problem because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. Okay, let's see here. When did Jesus see the man? On the Sabbath. And I believe he said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now. When does God move? Now. God's a God of the now. He's always a God of the now. Faith is now. Faith doesn't wait for an appropriate time. You don't have to wait till you come to church to get saved. You don't have to wait to come to church to get healed, to get delivered. You don't have to come to church at all. You can be healed out in the street, downtown. Doesn't matter. Anywhere God wants to move, God can move. God can send somebody in anywhere at all, and just walk right on in and say, oh, hallelujah, God sent me here. And I'm here to deliver the power. But inevitably, when God is wanting to demonstrate his power, there's going to be people that get offended. And I close with this. What has offended you recently? What has offended you recently? Well, maybe even tonight. Anywhere from tonight, the last few days, the last few weeks. What is it that's offended you? Because I want to tell you this. There's a rock of offense always attached, always right there by the river of deliverance. Amen. The deliverance river is flowing, but you can get offended, and you can stumble over the offense, and you can miss everything that God has for you. Well, I don't like it this way. I don't like it that way. You can complain about the chairs. You can complain about the color of the carpet. You can complain about the lights. Why do they have chandeliers in here? Because it reminds me of Harry Potter. I don't know. That's what somebody told me. They were in here. Like, oh, I don't know. Never seen Harry Potter. But that's not why we have chandeliers. That's what they were here. I want to replace them. But then there'll be people who get offended when we replace the chandelier. I really like those. Why did you cover part of the cross up? You can either give in to offense or you can step into the river of God. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the real river of God, the river of deliverance, the river of freedom. And you can just wade in, and you can wade deeper in, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and you can begin to swim in the things of God, and you can begin to experience true freedom. And I do want to tell you this, that those who get offended, you'll miss out on everything that God's doing. You'll see it pass by. It'll be ever so close to you, but you won't get to experience it. You won't get the taste of it. I have to, as a pastor, I have to guard my heart. I have to refuse to get offended. And I have multiple opportunities every week. Multiple opportunities. Well, so-and-so said this about you. Oh, you know what this person did? What somebody else, said or did or whatever it is? I don't really care. I'm focused on what God told me to do, and that's all that matters. I know the plan of God. I know my purpose, and I'm not going to be deviated from it. No power of hell is big enough to stop the plan of God. And I'm part of the plan. And you're part of the plan. Amen. And I believe that no power of hell is big enough to stop you.
Amen.
From jumping in the river of God and saying, let's all be a part of what God's doing here. Amen. Let's take revival from this place. I'm not saying it has to be just here in church. I don't want a church revival. I don't want a church revival. I want revival all throughout this entire area. You've heard me talk about that. It's going to be everywhere. It'll not just be in churches. It'll be in businesses. It'll be in schools. There'll be schools shut down. ETSU shut down by revival. Amen. I'm not talking that they'll never have classes again, but I'm just talking about the Lord will come in and he will just, by his Spirit, he will take over. Why? Because of great hunger. It'll happen in Science Hill. It'll happen in Liberty Bell. It'll happen into the other schools. It'll happen in different businesses. You'll walk in into a business and the presence of God hits you. You'll walk into Walmart and you'll encounter the presence of God on aisle 17 and then on aisle 23 and then on aisle 42 in section A, in section E, in section G. Everywhere you go, the presence of God will be present. Why? Because there will be carriers of revival, carriers of the presence of God.
everywhere, and we are allowing God to flow out of us. We're not saying it's just got to be in church. No, no, I don't want it in church. I want it out there in the streets. I want it in every neighborhood. I want it in every apartment complex. I am not content until I see this entire area throughout East Tennessee and far beyond saturated with the presence of God. That is what I contend for. And you say, that's an awful big thing. Yeah, it is a big thing. That's why I can't be moved by a little criticism. I know the plan of God. Well, I don't like that. Okay. That's fine. Ciao. But I want to tell you, we're going to see what God says. That's why in our Bible college, Smoky Mountain Bible College, that's why we're raising up leaders. That's why we've got powerful things that are taking place. Amen. That's why in a few weeks we're going to have our camp meeting here. And my wonderful friend, you know, Evangelist Tony Suarez is going to come in and he's going to join us. We're going to swing the gospel bat every which way but loose. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be a demonstration of the presence of God and of the power of God. Amen. Why? And why, Brother Tony Suarez? Because we're one heart. Amen. There's no deviance in our theology. In the way we see things, in the way we flow, I know that. Sold out. That's what it takes. Sold out and purity. Sold out and purity. Amen. And so you just make a decision right now. Whatever it is that's offended me, I'm going to let it go. Whoever it is that's offended me, I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to let it go. Tonight. Right now. Right now. You say, somebody's done this to me. Somebody said this. You know, somebody misunderstood me. Let it go. Let it go tonight. Because I know what's getting ready to happen. I know what's getting ready to happen. But before we get into any further into revival, I got to tell you that the biggest hindrance is offense. And if you have offense, you will never see revival in your life. You'll never see it in your home. You'll never see it in your family. You'll never see it in your business. You'll have a couple little blips, but there'll never be any great surges. There'll never be anything supernatural. You'll go from struggle to struggle to struggle. There'll always be something else that seems to be pulling the rug out from underneath you. And if that's you, I want to tell you something. God's got a better plan for your life.
Yes.
But you've got to stop giving in to the lie of the enemy.
Yeah.
And you've got to stop excusing the power of the enemy. It's time for you to stand up and stand against the enemy. By the power of God. Say nothing else but the word of God is going to work now. And I'm sold out to that. Would you bow your heads with me right now?
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.